Welcome to Have Guitar Will Travel, presented by Vintage Guitar Magazine, with your host, me, James Patrick Regan, otherwise known as Jimmy from the Deadlies. And today I'm speaking with the Sky Chiefs, who are Stephen McCarthy from the Long Riders and the Jayhawks, and Kevin Pittman, who's put out two solo albums and was in the Dads. In our conversation, Kevin gives us a little bit of his history, and then Stephen joins and we discuss the Sky Chiefs' debut album and how it was recorded and produced 36 years ago, and the personnel on the album. And they take us through the musical styles on the album. Stephen tells us about his time in California playing with the Long Riders, and the two tell us about how they met while Kevin was in a band called the Dads and moved to LA and then back to Richmond, Virginia. Stephen talks about his main guitar, a Tele-style guitar with a B-bender, string bender, installed by Gene Parsons, the inventor of the string bender. Gene is interviewed in episode 117 of this podcast. The two both tell us about the gear, not just for the album, but what they're using now. Stephen discusses seeing Danny Gatton play many times early on, and the two describe a few shows they did 36 years ago, and they talk about plans for shows upcoming and discuss the support they've been receiving from SiriusXM's Outlaw Country. The two talk about a new album and the work they're doing separately, Stephen with a new Long Riders album coming up. Stephen gives us a little bit of history of the Long Riders and the logistics for an upcoming tour, and he tells us about his tour work with the Jayhawks. The two talk about the Palomino Club in LA and encounters with Nudie Cohen at his shop. To find out more about Stephen and Kevin's album, you can go to their website, theskychiefs.com. That's theskychiefs.com. Please subscribe, like, comment, share, and most of all, review this podcast. I'd really appreciate it. And please support Vintage Guitar Magazine and all the wonderful things they do for us guitar players, because they do so many wonderful things for us guitar players. Oh, and also, I have a Patreon. It is patreon.com/haveguitarwilltravelpodcast. Here's my friends, Stephen and Kevin, the Sky Chiefs.
Hey there, Kevin.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing good. Where are you calling from?
I am in Napa, California.
Excellent. Nice.
How about yourself?
I'm in Charles City, Virginia, which is about a half an hour southeast of Richmond.
Okay.
Between Richmond and Williamsburg. So, and we have a really pretty day here today.
Oh, good for you. What are you doing musically right now?
You know, just working this Sky Chief album, really.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, we're doing it ourselves, and it takes a village, man.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
To put it, we've calling in every favor, you know, from every person, but so far we've had a lot of good feedback, and we're not surprised, really. We always thought it was pretty good, but
sure.
The fact that it's
not pretty good, it's fantastic.
Yeah, but the fact that it's so old, you know, I think we've been struck by that. When we were mixing it, we were like, you know, this sounds like we recorded it about 6 months ago.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. It doesn't sound dated at all. And
Stephen and I, we've spent a lot of time with studios, but we weren't thinking about that. We were just trying to get, you know, something down, get a good signal, get it down on tape, and move on to the next song. And that was kind of it.
Yeah.
So we didn't know enough to kind of get trendy with production techniques.
Sure. Well, yeah. And I mean, if anything, I think that adds to the timelessness of it.
That's what he says. He said the fact that, you know, we didn't have a shotgun snare or some vocal effect. Yeah. You know, it's pretty in your face. It's pretty punchy. And I think that's kind of helping us right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
In the 36 years between then and now, what have you been up to?
Well, I mean, I did two solo albums here. I did one in 21, came out beginning of 21, and I did one that came out in 23.
Okay.
And I've kind of got another one on, just kind of on, you know, in the pantry. But when we first mixed this, we mixed it 2 summers ago, not last summer, but the summer before last. We thought we were going to get released on a label, but it didn't work out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's funny. That's funny because what label wouldn't want this on their roster? This is it's a fantastic record.
Yeah, you know, we not many people have heard this, and to be fair, we played this for a handful of people back then, but you know, Steven was busy playing with Gutterball, and then he started playing with the Jayhawks, yeah. And so he, I mean, he's a legitimate, he has a legitimate music career. I did not.
Well, Steven's here now.
Hey, guys.
How are you?
I'm doing just fine. I'm trying to see if I can get on here.
Oh, you are.
There you go.
Sorry for the delay. I was upstairs trying to find a guitar.
Oh, that's quite right.
How are you guys?
Fantastic.
Hey, Kevin.
Good. What's up?
Hey, James. So where are you at? You look like you're in your man cave.
I am in my woodshed. Basically, this is I have a band, and this is where we rehearse. And
oh, excellent! That's great.
Very
teach
nice.
Guitar lessons, and
I love
all that
it.
Stuff here. Where are you located, Stephen?
I'm in Richmond, Virginia. So okay. Kevin is just out. He's like east of me, about 30 miles or so. But yeah, I'm in Richmond, where I was born and raised.
Uh huh.
Besides 11 years in California, this has been home.
Now, what part of California?
L.A., Southern California.
Okay, and quite a culture shock from Virginia.
It was. I was joking with someone the other day that when I went out there, I was like in my early 20s. And my dad said, son, you don't have a pot to piss in. And I said, Dad, I'll find a pot. Don't worry about it. So it was a culture shock, especially for a young kid, you know. But I went out there playing music, and it turned out to be a good move, I think.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. So how did the two of you guys meet?
Well, go ahead, Kevin.
You go ahead because we had a mutual friend. It was Steven's best friend, and that's how we with Brian Harvey. So tell him about that.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Did we meet? I saw you play. Kevin had a great band called The Dads, and with my best friend, like you said, Brian Harvey, and they were very popular around Virginia, up and down the East Coast. They played quite a bit, and they got a deal with, was it Columbia CBS?
Yeah, it was a CBS affiliate, yeah.
Yeah, and so I met Kevin a couple times here, but then I met him again in California when he came out there, and we played together just a few times out there, but then we really got together when we both moved back around the same time, early 90s. I got a house over here in the north side of Richmond, and Kevin ended up being a roommate for close to a year. Wow. And we wrote a few dozen songs.
Okay.
And we had a few different periods. We recorded early 90s, sort of mid and late. But this batch was culled from, I guess, the earlier or mid or maybe the early mid sessions. Kevin's got a better memory on all this stuff. I've been through too many records to know all the details. So, but no, we're really proud of this record, and thank you for this Zoom today and the interview.
Of course, absolutely.
It's kind of a miracle that it even exists, because I mean, you didn't ask me about this, but it kind of got lost and it was stored improperly, and and then even once we found it, it was recorded on ADAT tapes.
Okay,
and even after we found it, James. We were putting it into these ADAT players that we found. I still had mine. Kevin had one. They were both breaking. They were eating the tapes.
Oh, no.
And so somehow we got it digitized into Pro Tools, and Kevin took it from there.
Okay. All right. And did you have to re-record any of it, or is it all those original tracks?
No, nothing. It's as it was.
Okay.
Just kind of shined up a little bit, and we had it mastered up in New York.
Okay.
Yeah.
And who's playing what? You guys, the vocal harmonies are amazing. I mean, they're incredible, but who's playing what on the album?
Well, I tell you, Stephen and I, we did a benefit show at the Lingerie in L.A., and that's the first time we sang together.
Okay.
And I was really struck by the blend of harmonies that we just between us. So when we started writing, when we were living together, we were thinking, let's write songs that, you know, are really two-part harmony focused. I played acoustic mostly is what I played, a little bit guitar, a little bit of piano here and there. But Stephen kind of carries the weight with all that badass Telecaster work.
Okay.
And I was kind of engineering, so if I felt like, hey, it's no use for me to play when you got that thing around your neck, go ahead, just.
and so
Stephen played bass, and then we brought in different drummer, a couple different drummers.
Okay.
And one guy played piano, and then another guy, local guy, a friend of Stephen's, Charles Arthur. He did a lot of all the lap steel and some piano work.
Okay. And so were you using a B-bender there, Stephen?
Yes, absolutely. The same one that that I used on the Long Riders records and Jayhawks. I got it in 1984 from Gene Parsons.
Okay.
And
a neighbor almost.
Cinema Body. What's that?
I said a neighbor. He lives in Casper, just up the road from here.
Oh, yeah, exactly. He lives in Casper. I didn't know that you were close to that.
Yeah, I'm pretty close.
Do you know him?
I've been to his house a few times, yes.
Does he have the railroad, little miniature railroad track?
He's got not just the railroad, which is amazing. He also builds steam whistles. That's one of his hobbies, is building steam whistles.
I knew that.
And then...
The guys that like make pedal steels and the tinkerers and the machinists and all that, they're really incredible people. They're so smart and to know how to do all that stuff. I've seen him, you know, with that miniature railroad and making the steam whistles. And I got on the phone with him a couple of times and super nice guy. Yeah. And that's been a major part of my musical mojo for forever and a day. You know, there were a couple of guys that I saw playing them. When I was like 13, and I didn't even know what it was, but it was like a sound that got inside me. You know?
Sure. Yeah.
So
where did you see it? Did you see it being played?
Well, the first time I saw someone playing one, and it wasn't a Parsons one, but I saw the first Eagles tour, and Bernie Ledden was playing a pull string.
Sure. Yep.
And that's what attracted me. You know, the band sounded fine, but that sound attracted me.
Yeah.
And then I saw the Earl Scruggs review, and his son, I guess it was Randy, mm-hmm. played, it was more like a palm pedal.
Yep.
That he had, and that was in the mid-70s. And I was like, whoa, there's that sound again.
Yeah.
You know, that guitar sounded like a pedal steel. It's like, how are they doing that? So,
yeah. Any particular year Telecaster that you have the string bender on?
You know, it's actually not a real Telecaster. Okay. It's just a guitar that I bought in L.A., sent him the body.
Yeah.
When I was up playing with the Jayhawks up in Minnesota, one of their a guy that worked with the band, he was a great guitar tech guy, and he said, hey, you want me to slap a Fender decal on here? I said, sure. You know, so I've got Joe, a Barden pickup, and a Lindy Fralin lives a couple of miles, or his shop's a mile or two from here. So
wow.
I have a Lindy pickup and a Barden pickup in there.
Yeah, right on. That's fantastic.
But yeah, that was definitely used on the record.
And what were you playing? What kind of amp were you playing through?
I was playing through a reissue Vibe Reverb, which was part of it. And I got that because Danny Gatton, who was up, you know, in D.C. An hour and a half north of here, he had one, and a friend of mine recommended that. But then, as Kevin will attest, he remembered this. Sometimes I just plug into like a rat pedal.
Oh wow!
Which seems like it wouldn't be something you would normally do to try to get some organic kind of sound. But when we did that, Kevin, would we just plug straight into the rat and into the console?
Yeah. A lot of those guitar sounds. Yeah, we just tried it and it was like, damn, this sounds good, and just kind of went with it.
Uh huh. That's great. That's fantastic. I mean, you wouldn't know it. You wouldn't know to listen.
No.
No, you wouldn't. No, that would be like your 100th guess if you said, how did you get that guitar sound?
Yeah. I was going to say, Kevin, what were you playing as far as acoustic guitars?
You know, I think I had a Takamine, and Stephen had some. He had a big jumbo something. I remember what. I think I played that. Stephen's got so many acoustic guitars and stuff. You know, I'm sure we used a bunch of different stuff. And I have an electric that Lindy actually made. So I had his pickups and got his, probably one of the first guitars he made back.
Wow.
It was probably 1989, 88.
Okay.
And so, yeah, so we used that. And then Stephen had a nice Steinway. It didn't look so good, but it sounded great. And a nice Steinway piano in the living room.
Uh-huh.
It was, I think it had been in a fire, but it still sounded great.
Oh, wow.
And so
this was definitely used.
Is that a Guild?
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly. Was it a Guild?
Yeah.
This is a Guild F50 from
we used that.
Late 60s. Go ahead. I interrupted you. Keep going, Kevin.
No, that's all right. No. So yeah, that's what I remember. But like I said, you know, all of the kind of the fireworks guitar work that's going on, Stephen, he was using his Tele.
Yeah. Were you guys playing out at the time? Like, it, you know, back in, you know, 30 or so, some odd years ago? Were you guys
just a few shows. Yeah, yeah. We just went down. We got our friend Charles Arthur is on the record on, what, about four songs? And yeah, he's playing lap steel. So if you hear some cool lap steel work, yeah, that's him.
Yep, I heard it.
He plays some piano on the last song on the record. He plays some nice gospel.
Yeah, exactly.
Piano. Yeah. He's a multi-instrumentalist. And yeah, he's actually, we're doing this record release party here in a few weeks, and he's still here. You know, he's with us, and he lives in the neighborhood. So
yeah,
this guitar, I'm sorry, just one last thing, and I'll put it away.
That's fine.
But this Guild, I bought it from, do you know who, do you remember the band Sparkle Horse by any chance?
Me, no.
James, is it? Okay. Well, it's he had a band. He's, unfortunately, he's not around anymore, but he used this on a bunch of his records.
Okay.
He's kind of, he's sort of a well-known guy. Go ahead, Kevin.
Yeah, so as far as playing, we're getting ready to play in a couple of weeks our record release show, and this will be our fourth show.
Wow.
In 35 years. Yeah, so
yeah
we right. we did an acoustic duo show in Nashville, and we got down there and started sleeting.
Oh wow.
And it's sleeted for 2 days, and we played for like five people. and then we did play in the late 90s. We did play two shows in Richmond, just at a little bar.
Okay.
But so we you know, this band, this music's really never been heard much, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you guys planning on touring behind it, the record?
There are no plans to go tour.
But not to say that,
you know, if there's some
show or something,
there's some great, you know, opportunity, I guess we wouldn't turn it down.
Yeah.
There's nothing on the books to tour. I'd like to go up, you know, one outlet that's been really nice to us. I'm sorry I'm moving around here a little
that's
bit.
That's quite right.
Coming outside so I can see better. One outlet that's been really great for supporting us has been Sirius XM.
Sure.
Their Outlaw Country channel.
Yeah.
And, you know, they kind of, well, I'm hoping that maybe there'd be an opportunity to go up there and do a session. We've done it with the Long Riders.
Sure.
So,
yeah.
But they've been extremely supportive.
Yeah. And so, I mean, the record is certainly diverse in styles. Like,
well, you know, Steve you know, at the time, the early 90s, I mean, I said this the other day, you know, country music at the time was in a pretty cool place. You had Dwight,
yep,
obviously, and then Lauderdale had that really cool record out.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, and obviously Vince Gillen and all that. But for us, you know, we were like, you know, just our natural tendencies. You know, we were into the Everlys and
sure, that's what I'm. There's
early
some swing. There's some country swing in there too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And so Stephen's roots grow deep in that soil. You know, my doorway through all this stuff was the Harmony Everlys. That's, I could speak that language.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that, you know, a lot of it for me, it always goes back to like your record collection, you know.
Sure.
And if you dump in five or six genres from your record collection into the blender and turn it on, and then you add your own, you know, 2 cents, and then it kind of comes out as it comes out. And so, you know, the Long Riders, Jayhawks, great bands, and I've been fortunate to play with both of them.
Yeah.
You know, touch on country in different ways, you know, through sort of a country rock kind of lens or rock and roll lens. But we were leaning a little bit more country on this one. And like Kevin said, and we keep saying this name, but the Everlys sort of harmonies as close, you know, we're not brothers or anything, but this, we think about those blood harmonies,
yes,
you know,
exactly.
And so that kind of intersection between, you know, rock and roll and maybe even a little bit more country was very appealing to us. And people like, you know, other artists I can think of, like Marty Stewart.
He's
really mined that in a great way where, you know, most rock bands, they may touch on country a little bit. They may have, like, someone come and play fiddle.
Yeah.
And it's all cool. But I don't know. I really like, you know, the combination that we have on this record.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And there's definitely some Beatles influences also in there, too.
Yeah, you know, that's in there for sure. And it's kind of like, it wasn't super intentional. I think it's just in our DNA, to some chord changes
Nobody's, I mean, the Everlys obviously the early Lennon McCartney, they were, influenced by the Everlys and they were influenced by the Louvin brothers. So if you sing harmony, nobody really sings harmony like that anymore that I can hear. So when you do that, you automatically get those comparisons,
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And did you guys, either of you ever have an opportunity to see Danny Gatton play live?
Oh, I did many times.
Oh, good.
Good. Many times. Standing right up next, I mean, as close as you can get, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
See, because he was based out of D.C.
Yeah.
And that's only, an hour and three quarters drive. But he would come and play in Richmond a lot because there was a band called the Good Humor Band.
Okay.
And, south of D.C., it would be the Good Humor Band featuring Danny Gatton. And then when he'd play other places, he might have them, as the backup, or he would headline.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I know I saw him a dozen times. Sure. And it's just mind blowing.
Yeah.
And
what about Emmylou Harris? Speaking of people from that,
I never saw her play in D.C. She played at Clyde's, and that's kind of where she was discovered in Georgetown. But no, I played on a bill with her a couple of times. And she got up and sang a song in Massey Hall with the Jayhawks one night, which was a real thrill. And we talked to her for a long time afterwards. So I've seen her over the years a lot, but no, I never saw her like locally. Well, I did see her play locally once, but it was at a concert. But I never saw her like in clubs in D.C. I was just a little bit too young for that.
Yeah. Okay. That's fine.
Yeah.
And as far as what are you guys doing? I mean, you're pushing the record, but with no plans, real plans to tour, what are you guys doing musically now? Are together or separate? Are you still working on more songs or?
Well, you're hearing it here for the first time. But Kevin said to me recently, within the last month or 6 weeks, he goes, we should do another record. And I said, you mean like compile some more of these old songs that we have and dust them off? And he goes, no, we should do something new. So I think that if we only did that, if we only released one more album, and they could be sort of bookends of like what was and what is, so that's something in consideration. And I've got a Longriders record that's in the cans coming out in a month, and I'm on a few other albums that are coming out this year.
Okay.
But no, we definitely want to we're Kevin and I think our main goal was to get this thing off the shelf,
of course,
and let people hear it seemed while we're still around, thought it was well worthy of some attention. And so even so far, even just the notices that have come in so far, I'd be like, okay, it's not just us that thinks it's pretty
it's
good.
No, it's a fantastic record. Absolutely. Yeah. And Kevin, how about you? So Steven's doing the Longriders. What are you doing on day to day, so to speak?
Well, here lately, we've been working this thing, we just released a video a week ago. Uh-huh. So, all of that, messing with pictures, giving it to this person, that person, just kind of working this record. Steven goes on tour here in about a month, 6 weeks maybe. I don't know. I'll probably start sorting through, get back to start recording some music.
Okay.
But I've been kind of PR guy here lately.
Yeah, that's a full-time job for sure.
Yeah. And Kevin has two great solo records out in the last 5 years, 5 or 6 years, Yeah.
That's great. And so, Stephen, when you go out, are you going to go out with the Longriders? Is that who you're going to be touring with?
Yeah. April 19th, I fly to Spain, and we have about a three-week tour. And then my wife and I are going to go around Europe for a few weeks after that.
Okay.
And then we have a fall tour in the UK.
Yeah. So when you fly to Spain, do you bring your gear with you, or are you getting gear there?
I bring my guitar and, a few effect pedals, but no, never an amp or anything. Well, although I take that back. I do have an amp, a Milkman head that weighs like three pounds, So I can bring that, but no backline is always, gotten over there, rented over there.
Yeah. And what's the guitar that you're bringing over there with you?
My B Bender.
Still using that same guitar.
Same guitar. And I've had it for like over 40 years, and it's been through so much.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hung in there. You know, the thing is really a workhorse.
Yeah, of course. If we made it this far.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And are you doing studio work outside of the Long Riders and this? Are
yeah.
You, yeah.
Do you have yeah, a studio? Yeah, I do. I've got a studio. I've got a little Pro Tools studio here. Actually, you know, we recorded here in the house way back when the Sky Chiefs and uh-huh. we had a really nice console and we had some more gear and my son came along, you know, that was more important than having a studio. So I got rid of it. But I do record. There's a gal named Gray Delisle, and I've made a number of records with her. And so I'll either go out and record with her, you know, Nashville, Texas, L.A.,
yeah.
or I'll send her tracks. And there are a couple other groups, you know, Jayhawks or yeah. whoever needs something. Yeah.
So the Jayhawks are still active?
They are. They've got a new record coming out in a few months, I guess. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I was just in Mexico with them. Yeah.
Were you really? Oh, so are you, do you still tour with Jayhawks as well?
I do. It's sporadic, you know. It just depends on if it's a big enough of a show to bring in. They always say we always want you because I think I add a little bit of the, you know, whip topping, you know.
Sure.
You know, the cream on the top for Pedal Steel or whatever it might be. You know, I used to play banjo with them or singing some. I mean, they can operate as a four piece and they don't need me at all. But yeah, they're a great band, great singers, and great songs.
Oh, yeah,
so
of course.
I really enjoy being with them.
Yeah. Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Is the Long Riders your band? Like, is that a band you started?
Well, I started it with two other guys. I mean, there's three of us left, three of the original uh-huh. band members left. So yeah, we started it in like 81.
Wow.
Maybe I came in and, yeah, 81 or early 82.
Okay.
It's been a while.
Yeah. And yeah. I mean, it is like one of the first Americana acts.
That's true. They didn't even call it that then. No. We used to call it like roots rock.
Yeah, whatever.
And so, yeah, we kind of, we were in there pretty early. And then, you know, by the time 88 came along, we'd broken up.
Uh-huh.
And then I don't think we played again until around 2004. So wow. We've now had as many records out in the 2.0 version of the band as we did in the original group. Yeah. So,
and were there bands that inspired you guys to do the style of music you were playing?
Well, I answered an ad. There was a thing called the Recycler out there. I don't know if you would have remembered that.
World famous.
Yeah, you could buy a fridge or find a go on a date or get a car.
Or join Motley bands,
Crue. Join Motley Crue. Yeah, I'm sure. Oh, many bands formed in L.A. because of that thing.
Yeah, of course.
And so I answered an ad said, group looking for guitarist influences Buffalo Springfield to The Clash, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, okay, I can do that. So to answer your question, it was really kind of a coming together of a few different guys' taste. You know, Sid and Greg were probably more rock and roll guys or punk rock guys. And
uh-huh.
Greg was in a ska band. And I was more the country guy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, those combinations of different styles kind of came together as Long Riders.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. When you're backlining stuff in the Europe, what are the pedals that you're doing to kind of even out the sound?
Well, I'll bring over, you know, just like a tuner, a delay pedal, a little boost pedal.
Sure.
And maybe like a tremolo if the amp doesn't have it.
Yeah.
You know, so just the basics. I don't want to tour with a great big pedal board. You know,
no,
it's just a couple
that.
Of things.
Yeah, but nothing like you know, not like your rat pedal. You're not going to bring your rat pedal. Something that's gonna you know, give you a certain sound.
Well, no, but that's a good point. You know, I might have to pull that out thinking about the Sky Chiefs though. If I can recapture some of that magic.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
I'm trying to keep up with my 33-year-old self playing some of these riffs nowadays. So.
Yeah. Did you have to relearn them?
We were half as, oh God, yes. We were half as young as we are now when this record was cut.
Sure. And what do the two of you guys do for fun outside of music?
Oh, shoot.
Kevin, what do you do?
Yeah. Even if music's kind of secondary, because we're kind of friends. You know, because they're boys. We used to hang out and go, you know, go sporting events or go boat riding or something. But yeah, so, you know, So we've been doing that even, you know, with or without the music. But yeah, I don't know. Hopefully the weather's going to warm up here, and although they're calling for some snow on Sunday, so.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, James, we had 18 days of sub-zero weather.
Oh.
You know, it ended about 10 days ago, I guess, something like that.
Oh, my God.
And, but we had ice around here for a while, and never in my lifetime have we had weather that cold.
Oh, really?
You know, the dog, my dog was walking on ice going out to use the bathroom. People were slipping and falling, and it was, around the South, it was crazy.
Yeah.
So what's it like up there? Is it decent?
In Napa right now, this is like the fifth day of rain in a row. And
oh, wow.
Low 40s, probably 42 right now.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm.
And for me, it is just...
I know it's raining in L.A. a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's that's a whole different thing. That's they aren't used to the rain there so much.
No, they're not. Not at all.
Yeah.
What's your band? What's your band doing? What kind of material is that?
We play surf music mostly, for lack of a better term.
Oh, right on.
Yeah, but we play everything we'll play Buckaroo,
Dick Dale.
Dick Dale. But Buckaroo,
I met Dick
by
Dale.
Buck Owens.
Met him, Kevin?
Yeah, when I worked at El Dorado when I was in L.A., he came in for a session.
Oh wow!
He ripped it. I mean, he did his thing. You know.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
He played loud as hell live. I saw him live a couple times at the Palomino. He was so loud. Was he kind of a big guy?
Yes, he was. He was pretty big.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely built. He wasn't drinking. Yeah. When I played with him a couple times, and he wasn't drinking or anything. He didn't allow his band to drink. And
wow.
Okay. Yeah.
But I can imagine.
Adventures.
I can imagine him at the Palomino being very loud.
Yeah, it was loud as hell.
Yeah. Did you play?
So you guys do ventures and stuff like that?
Yeah, ventures. A little bit of everything. We try to mix it up. Yeah. I mean, we're all country music lovers, so we put as much country music,
I got you.
Instrumentals as we can.
Okay.
There. Did you have the opportunity to play at the Palomino?
Many times.
Yeah.
I have dreams about the Palomino. That's how weird I am. It's like. You know, or I'll go out to L.A. and I want to say to my friends, like, hey, let's go to the Palomino. And they're like, Steven, that closed 25 years ago.
You'd see people like Rosie Flores and James Intveld and all those guys.
Oh, absolutely. Those are friends of mine. Yeah, see them play there. Lucinda, Lauderdale.
Yep.
You know, you name it. There was a whole group of people. But plus, you would be sitting there watching somebody sitting on a stool at the bar. And Waylon Jennings would walk past you with a long neck Budweiser. Or I remember having conversations with Jerry Lee Lewis there. Wow. Or I think I saw George Jones in there one night. I mean, anybody, you know, you could see a punk rocker walk next to a guy who looks like he just gotten off his 18-wheeler, you know. And
sure.
It was a cool thing.
Yeah. And did you have nudie suits and all that stuff back then?
I met Nudie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw Nudie play in his store one time. He was playing he played the mandolin.
Yeah, he did.
And he was playing with Marty Robbins.
Oh my goodness.
And they were just kind of goofing off. They weren't, you know, there was like three people in the store.
Uh-huh.
But Nudie was a cool guy, and no, there was no way in this world I could have afforded a Nudie suit back in those days or now.
Yeah.
No, but I bought some stuff there, but even back then the Nudie suits were selling for $2,500,
$3,000. Sure. Yep.
You know, so they'd be like triple that now. Exactly. It was a cool shop, though.
Well, you know, it's been a wonderful talking to you guys. I appreciate your time, and I hope somebody invites you to play out here in California so I can see you guys play.
Well, that would be fun. You know, actually, there were a couple of friends who, the Wild Honey folks down there in L.A., had mentioned about a show out there, so. You never know. Stranger things have happened, and I'll certainly let you know if something comes together.
Please do.
We'll have to see. But we really appreciate your time, James.
Yay. Thanks a lot, James. We really appreciate it.
The pleasure is all mine. It's an honor to
meet
both of you.
Don't forget, James. Don't forget, walk, don't run.
I'll keep that in mind.
You need to cover that song. That's where I was going.
Oh, believe me, we play it. Everybody, all the
take care now.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Have Guitar Will Travel. You can catch up on all the things I'm doing at thedeadlies.com, and I'm on all the social media platforms as well. And please support Vintage Guitar and all the wonderful things they do, because they do many, many wonderful things for us guitar players. Thanks. Please subscribe. Please tell a friend, and I'll see you guys next week. Bye, guys.